You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora, Alan. How's it going
today? Nicholas, how are we?
This amazing. Is... All the better now that you're here.
Oh, gosh. Goodness me. Right, so what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you emailed me into... CC'd me into the Nobel Prizes, which I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, last week was the first week of October, and historically that's when the Nobel Prizes are awarded. And on the Monday, it's medicine, or physiology or medicine, they call it. On the Tuesday, it's physics. And on the Wednesday, it's the all-important chemistry. So let's talk about those three.
I'd love to get into it, yeah.
And we'll kick off with the physiology or medicine prize. And this was awarded to Catalin Carrico and Drew Weissman. And they won it for their discoveries concerning nucleoside base modifications that enabled the development of effective mRNA vaccines against COVID-19.
What does that mean in layman's terms?
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Everybody recognises the last couple of words of that. And probably everybody has heard, well, many people will have heard of mRNA vaccines as well, I'm pretty sure. So this was probably always going to end up getting the Nobel Prize at some stage, and I think that the whole COVID-19 accelerated things. So it's a very interesting story. So, I mean, you know, everyone's sort of vaguely familiar with vaccines. We all get jabs and stuff like that, and that protects us against viruses and all sorts of nasties. And this was developed in the, I think 19th century, early 19th century by Edward Jenner. And he came up with a vaccine for smallpox because everyone was getting smallpox in those days, which was nasty. Mm. And he noticed that all of the people working with cows, all the women specifically who worked with cows, they would end up getting a thing called cowpox, but they would never then end up getting smallpox.
Interesting.
And he figured, oh, okay, something here. So he took some cowpox sample and injected it into this little 8-year-old kid.
The ethics of that are crazy.
Yeah, no ethics in those days. And, you know, the kid never got smallpox. So, and he did leave him the house, I think, when he died. So, you know, the kid wasn't sort of, you know, but his name is sort of lost to history, unfortunately. But, so basically the way that vaccines kind of work or worked was that you needed a sample of the virus. So, or you need a part of the sample of the virus. So that means that you had to have sort of cell culture things all set up to go and everything. And that's time consuming and it's money consuming and all of that sort of stuff. So back in the sort of late 80s, early 90s, they were looking at maybe a different way of delivering vaccines or of doing the whole vaccine thing. So what they figured out was, let's see if we can use DNA or RNA. Mm. Because those are basically molecules that carry messages, essentially, particularly RNA, the messenger RNA, that's what the M stands for. And it can carry messages on how to make particular proteins, which the body then uses to fight viruses and stuff.
That's okay? Incredible.
And they figured out a way to make mRNA in the lab. And they thought, okay, well, this will be great because we can just program this up with any particular protein that we want to make for our immune system to use to kill these things. But what they found was that when they made this mRNA in the lab and they tried to use it like this, that they would always get an inflammatory response, so things were never good. Catalin Carrico, she was sort of the first in on this, and she was thinking, you know, why is this the case? Because when we use mRNA from so-called natural sources, mammalian mRNA, you don't get the inflammatory response. And then she met this guy, Drew Weissman, literally over the photocopier.
Incredible.
She had had a hard time. She was an emigre from Hungary. And this was in the 80s, so they were still communist then. And apparently they sold their car on the black market and they got £900 for it, and they sewed that into a teddy bear or something that they took to the States with them. So, you know, times are pretty tough in those days. And then sort of she went to a university in the States, mid-90s, things weren't working, you know. So she'd been spending a lot of time on this problem, things weren't working, and so basically she had to take a demotion to stay there. And also at the time she was diagnosed with cancer as well, so things were pretty bloody tough, poor thing. But meeting this Weissman guy, and they sort of were thinking along the same sort of things and thinking, yep, okay, so let's see if we can solve this inflammation problem. And they recognized that there was a difference between the mRNA they made in the lab and naturally occurring mRNA. Now, RNA, as hopefully you can remember from high school science, has got four bases. Okay, we call these A, U, C, and G.
Yes.
And DNA has got A, T, and C, and G. Okay, so four bases. And the way in which they are ordered is a code for the production of these proteins. Okay. And what they twigged to was the fact that in so-called natural mRNA, these bases were sometimes chemically modified.
Mm.
So they weren't exactly the A and the U and the C and the G they should have been. And so they figured that out and they said, okay, well, let's try these modified bases. Let's try using these to make our lab-grown mRNA, as it were. They did that. They injected it. And lo and behold, no inflammatory response. And that was the biggie, okay? And so they did that in around about 2005. And the paper for that got rejected by Nature. It got rejected by Science. It got rejected by Cell. Okay, so those are the three big places that you're going to, and you know, they're basically sort of saying that, you know, it's not interesting enough, it's not important enough. So the editors will be feeling a little bit silly
fast forward to now,
and you know, and they have saved millions of lives. That's they just amazing. Have yeah. yeah so you know great story really really cool
yeah amazing
yep yep, yep.
yeah
so that's the physiology or medicine.
Amazing. We love that.
And then we run on to physics. And the physics prize awarded to Pierre Agostini, Ferenc Krauss, and Anne Luyer.
Great names.
A second Hungarian there, Ferenc Krauss. So the Hungarians are doing well. And Anne Luyer was only the fifth woman to win the Nobel Prize in